Hello, and welcome to Soothing Pod's Sleep Stories. I'm Chris, and tonight we will be swept away into the serene and lush landscapes of the Garden of Eden. Together, we will traverse the genesis of creation, where the first whispers of life stirred under the watchful eyes of the cosmos. Let the unfolding story of Adam, Eve, and the beguiling serpent envelop you in a tale of curiosity, discovery, and transformation. Before we begin our tale, let's take time to relax and let go of the stresses of the day. Gently close your eyes and take a slow, deep breath. Allow yourself to relax, releasing any tension with each exhale. Picture yourself enveloped in the soft, velvety darkness of the cosmos, on the brink of witnessing something miraculous, the birth of the universe. In this vast quietude, a canvas of infinite possibilities stretches out before you. There's a profound sense of peace here, in the anticipation of creation. Imagine, within this expanse, a single point of light. It's not abrupt or startling, but rather a gentle beacon of what's to come, shimmering with potential. As you watch, the light begins to expand, unfolding gracefully. It's like the first brushstroke on a blank canvas, heralding the beginning of a masterpiece. This light, tender and inviting, starts to dance and swirl, painting the darkness with hues of blues, purples, and pinks. Colors no eye has seen, and yet they feel familiar, like echoes of dreams. This dance of light and color is the universe slowly coming into being. It's a serene ballet of creation, with each movement purposeful and each swirl of color blending into the next. You are not just an observer. You are a part of this majestic tapestry, privileged to witness the birth of everything. Around you, stars begin to twinkle into existence, each one a note in the symphony of the cosmos. They are distant, yet warm, specks of light growing in a garden of darkness, each one contributing to the beauty of what is unfolding. Galaxies form with a grace that takes your breath away. Spirals of light and shadow dancing in an eternal embrace. You watch as the universe expands, feeling a sense of unity and peace. Beauty of creation, in its purest form, is laid out before you. A reminder of the tranquility and majesty of existence. Now, slowly bring your awareness back to the present moment, carrying with you a serene beauty of the universe's birth. Feel grounded in the knowledge that you are a part of this incredible journey, from the first light to the swirling galaxies. Now that you are relaxed, I will begin tonight's tale. In the beginning, there was nothing but an endless expanse of black, a silent void waiting to be filled. Then, from the depths of this nothingness, a warm and gentle voice emerged. "Let there be light." Suddenly, the darkness was pierced by brilliance, revealing a universe teeming with stars and swirling patterns of cosmic beauty. God, the artist behind this first stroke of creation, paused to admire his work. The stars twinkled like scattered gems across the vast canvas of the sky. "Ah," God murmured to himself, a smile in his voice. "This is quite beautiful." After reveling in the splendor of the stars for some time, God felt a stirring within, a desire for a new canvas to paint upon. The infinite universe, with its twinkling jewels, was beautiful. Yet, it sparked a yearning for something more. With a thoughtful pause, an idea blossomed within the depths of his imagination. "Land," he whispered, reaching into the inky blackness of the universe as if it were a pool. God's hands moved with purpose. From this void, he drew forth the first mountain, its peaks soaring towards the sky, majestic and unwavering. But a single mountain was merely the beginning. God continued to work. Valleys dipped gently between the mountain ranges, fertile and welcoming. Plains stretched wide, vast canvases of green where the wind whispered secrets to the grass. Deserts formed under his guiding hands, their sands golden and endless. Forests emerged, dense and lush, their canopies a mosaic of green. God surveyed this new creation. "There's something missing," he thought. "I know. Water." With a gentle touch, God extended a finger towards the earth, tracing lines across the newly sculpted lands. Beneath his touch, water bubbled up as if summoned from the very heart of the earth, clear and pure. He drew the paths for streams that giggled over stones, for lakes that lay serene and mysterious, and for rivers that meandered, strong and sure. These veins of life wove across the land, reaching out to the empty patches on his vast map. There, they gathered and swelled, birthing the seas and oceans with their endless blues and greens. As the water filled these basins, the earth seemed to sigh, its thirst quenched, its beauty magnified by the reflection of the sky in the waters. God stepped back, observing the harmony of land and water. "That's much better," he said softly, a tone of contentment in his voice. The addition of water had transformed the landscape, adding movement, sound, and the promise of life. He felt a deep satisfaction, seeing how each element complemented the other, how the world was slowly coming to life under his guidance. He His satisfaction didn't last long, however. As God observed the earth, with its majestic mountains, sprawling plains, and the life-giving rivers, a sense of incompleteness tugged at his heart. There was beauty, yes, in the foundation for life. But there was room for something more. Something extraordinary. He pondered this feeling, and then inspiration struck. He would create a garden, not just any garden, but a divine sanctuary that would be the epitome of beauty and harmony, a place where the essence of paradise would be captured, where the sun would forever cast a gentle warmth, never obscured by clouds, where rain and snow were but distant concepts. In this garden, time would stand still, and the splendor of creation would be eternal. With the vision clear in his mind, God set to work. He summoned the richest soils, the most vibrant flowers, and the lushest greens. Trees bearing fruits of every kind took root, their branches heavy with the promise of nourishment and life. Flowers bloomed in an array of colors so vivid they seemed to dance in the night. Animals, gentle and wild, found their home in this garden. Each creature a masterpiece, from the smallest insect to the grandest beasts, all lived in harmony. Their lives intertwined in a delicate balance that thrived under God's watchful eye. The Garden of Eden, as it came to be known, was a testament to the beauty and potential of creation. It was a place of peace where every leaf and every breath of wind spoke of God's love and craftsmanship. Standing amidst the splendor of the garden, God knew that this was the heart of his creation. A sanctuary, not just for the creatures that roamed its paths, but for all of creation to find peace and inspiration. In the heart of the Garden of Eden, under the eternal sunlight that promised never to wane, God watched with a contented gaze as the animals roamed freely. Yet, amidst this perfection, a new spark of inspiration ignited within him. He desired to create not just another creature, but beings distinct from all else. Beings that would reflect his image in spirit and intellect. Beings capable of stewarding this paradise. God envisaged a creation unlike any other. With two legs to walk upon the earth, arms to embrace the beauty of life, and hands to shape the world. These beings would stand upright, eyes turned towards the heavens from which they were given life. Unlike the animals cloaked in fur, these creatures would bear hair only upon their heads. Reaching down into the fertile soil of Eden, God gathered the earth in his divine hands. With careful attention and a craftsman's touch, he sculpted two figures from the mud, each distinct, yet equal. "You are man," said God to the first sculpture, "and your name will be Adam." "You are woman," said God to the second sculpture, "and your name will be Lilith. God leant down as though he would kiss the two sculptures. Instead, he breathed gently upon them. As he did so, they transformed. No longer were they mud and earth. They were flesh and bone. Adam and Lilith awoke to their existence with wonder in their eyes, their first sensations filled with the beauty of Eden. Adam marveled at his hands, symbols of potential and creation. While Lilith ran her fingers through her long, black hair. Together, they looked towards the sky, their hearts filled with gratitude. "Thank you, Father," said Adam. "Yes, thank you," Lilith added, her voice a melody of wonder. In the lush expanse of the Garden of Eden, Adam and Lilith discovered wonders beyond their wildest dreams. The garden offered endless marvels to explore. Together, they wandered through groves of fruit trees, their branches heavy with jewels of nature, and strolled beside streams that whispered secrets of the earth. In this paradise, they were truly happy. Their days filled with discovery, and their hearts with joy. Lilith, ever curious and insatiable in her thirst for knowledge, peppered their days with questions. She inquired about the stars that glittered in the night sky, the creatures that shared their garden home, and the myriad plants that grew with such vibrant vitality. God, patient and wise, answered her queries. Adam viewed Lilith's ceaseless questioning with growing unease. He found it somewhat embarrassing, a sign of distrust in the divine plan of their father. In a moment of quiet, away from the chorus of birds and the rustle of leaves, he voiced his concern to Lilith. "Perhaps we should simply be grateful and trust in what God has provided," he suggested. Lilith, however, could not understand Adam's reluctance. "But we have been given the gifts of sight, hearing, touch, and thought," she argued, her voice vibrant with conviction. "Are we not meant to use them to their fullest, to learn and explore all that surrounds us? How can seeking understanding be wrong?" Their conversation, a gentle clash of perspectives, ended in agreement to disagree. Adam found contentment in the wonders that were presented to him. While Lilith sought out the secrets that lay hidden, always pushing the boundaries of their understanding. It was this insatiable curiosity that drew her to the most secluded reaches of the garden, where stood the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Towering and resplendent, it was a beacon of forbidden wisdom, its fruit glistening with the promise of untold truths. As Lilith's hand reached out, drawn to the fruit like a moth to flame, the serene chorus of Eden was pierced by the voice of God. "This tree is not for you, Lilith," came God's unseen voice. "In every paradise there lie boundaries, and this is one you must not cross." The warning stoked the fires of Lilith's resolve, rather than quenching them. She stood defiant, her voice echoing through the garden. "Why must knowledge be forbidden? Is it not through understanding that we truly appreciate your creation? Why endow us with a thirst for knowledge, if it is to be denied? God's reply was tinged with sorrow. It is out of love that I set these boundaries. Knowledge brings with it the burden of choice, and choice bears the seed of divergence from the harmony of my garden, he explained. Despite the divine warning, the allure of the fruit's promised wisdom proved too potent for Lilith to resist. Her fingers brushed against its surface, and then vanished into thin air. Lilith, you have disobeyed me, God's voice boomed, echoing not just through the garden, but within the very essence of Lilith's being. In your pursuit, you have ignored the boundaries I have set. Such defiance cannot go without consequence. Lilith, standing amidst the verdant beauty of Eden, felt a profound chill at those words. She had sought knowledge, yes, but not to defy or to desecrate. Her quest was for understanding, for truth. Yet here she stood, facing the gravity of her actions. As God spoke, the transformation began. It was not just a punishment, but a symbol, a manifestation of her quest's cost. You wished to elevate yourself, to reach beyond the harmony of this garden, God continued. Now you shall explore the world from a different perspective, one that keeps you close to the earth from which you came. Before Lilith's eyes, her form shifted, her body elongating and her limbs receding. The sensation was not painful, but disorienting, as if every part of her was being rewritten. Her skin turned to scales, her belly lay against the floor, her tongue was long and slim. It flicked in and out of her mouth, tasting the air. Lilith was a snake. She slithered away in shame. Later, as the sun dipped below the horizon, Adam felt a pang of loneliness. Lilith had been absent throughout the day. He gazed up at the vast expanse of the sky, where the first stars began to twinkle into existence, and called out to his father. Where is Lilith? I haven't seen her all day. His voice carried a mix of concern and confusion. God, observing from the heavens, knew the time had come for a gentle truth. Lilith has sought her own path, Adam, replied God. Her questions led her beyond what was meant for her in this garden. It is important to seek understanding, but equally important to trust. You, Adam, have always trusted in me. Adam absorbed the words. God's praise for his ability to trust felt like a small comfort in the absence of Lilith. To honor your trust, Adam, I will create a new companion for you, God announced. Adam, curious, asked, Will you form her from the earth, as you did with Lilith and me? God contemplated this, then decided on a more profound creation. No, Adam, this time I will create her from your essence to ensure a connection that runs deeper than before. With a divine touch, God reached down, gently extracting one of Adam's ribs. Air around them shimmered with divine energy, as God skillfully shaped the rib into a new human form. This new companion was different than Lilith. She was shorter, and instead of Lilith's raven black hair, she had blonde tresses that caught the evening light. With a breath that carried the essence of life itself, God awakened her into existence. "She shall be called Eve," he declared. Eve blinked open her eyes, adjusting to the brilliance of her surroundings. Her gaze met Adam's, and a smile blossomed on her lips. In that smile, Adam felt an immediate connection, a sense of belonging and unity that he had not had with Lilith. Introducing himself, Adam took Eve's hand gently in his own. Together, they walked into the garden. Above them, God watched with a contented heart. He believed this time things would unfold differently. Eve had been made from Adam's own rib, and so they would be more alike, humble, gracious, and trusting in his power. Adam and Eve found bliss in the lush embrace of the Garden of Eden. They frolicked amidst the verdant splendor, their laughter mingling with the chirping of birds and the whispering of the wind. The garden, under their care, flourished even more. As night draped its velvet shroud over Eden, they would find solace in each other's arms, nestled on a bed of moss beneath the infinite tapestry of stars. The tranquility of the garden cradling them into peaceful slumber. One such night, as Adam lay beside Eve, his mind wandered to the days spent with Lilith. He remembered the happiness they shared. Yet, in the presence of Eve, his heart felt a fuller joy, a deeper contentment than he had known before. It was in these quiet moments, under the gaze of the celestial bodies, that Adam's faith was reaffirmed. God, in his infinite wisdom, had guided Adam to this place of profound happiness. By trusting in God's divine plan, Adam had been blessed with Eve, a companion who mirrored his heart and soul. But just beyond the tranquility of their sanctuary, a shadow lurked. The serpent, once known as Lilith, observed them from the darkness. With every moment of their happiness, a bitter resentment grew within her. The sight of Adam, content and fulfilled, and Eve, naive to the complexities of existence, ignited a flame of anger in the serpent's heart. How could Adam lie so content in ignorance? How could Eve, fashioned from Adam himself, rest so peacefully, unaware of the truths that lay beyond the garden's confines? The serpent slithered away, her mind a whirlwind of betrayal and wrath. The garden, once a heaven of shared discovery, now served as a reminder of what she had lost. But within her burning gaze lay a resolve, a determination that the story of Eden was far from over. As the night deepened, the serpent vanished into the shadows. The next day, Eve found herself wandering alone. The garden, usually a symphony of familiar sounds, was pierced by a noise she had never encountered. It was a sharp, jarring sound, and distinctly unpleasant. Following the strange sound, Eve stumbled upon the serpent, its form writhing on the ground. Concern etched across Eve's face as she approached it. "What is this noise you're making?" she asked, her innocence shining through. The serpent replied, "I am in pain. A thorn has embedded itself in my scales." The concept of pain was alien to Eve, and her brows furrowed in confusion as she carefully removed the thorn. Eve's curiosity grew as the thorn came free, her gaze locked on the serpent. "Pain? What is that?" she inquired, her voice a whisper in the vastness of the garden. "Pain is what beings feel when harm befalls them, when sorrow touches their hearts. It is an unwelcome shadow on one's spirit," the serpent explained, its voice low, carrying the weight of unspoken truths. Eve stood still, the revelation unsettling her. "I have never known unhappiness," she admitted, a flicker of unease crossing her features. The serpent, seizing the moment, imparted a final piece of wisdom. "There are many things you do not know, Eve." With those words, the serpent slithered away, leaving Eve alone with her thoughts. That night, as she lay beside Adam under the starlit sky, Eve found herself restless, haunted by the serpent's words. What else was there to know? What other sensations, experiences, and truths lay beyond her understanding? For the first time, Eve faced the night with questions instead of peace. Her mind a whirlwind of curiosity and concern. As dawn's first light crept over the horizon, Eve found herself waking earlier than usual. Gently removing herself from Adam's embrace, she rose, leaving him to his peaceful slumber. With a quietness in her step, Eve began to wander through the garden, her eyes taking in the familiar sights. The blooming flowers, the towering trees, and the gentle streams. Yet, despite the unchanged beauty that surrounded her, Eve felt a shift within herself. The garden, once a realm of unquestioned joy and simplicity, now whispered secrets and hidden truths to her soul. Every leaf that fluttered in the breeze, every ripple on the water's surface, seemed to speak of mysteries untold. Eve knew now that there was more to existence than what met the eye, more than what she had ever felt or seen. This knowledge, though barely understood, had changed her, casting a new light on her world. In this moment of solitude, Eve walked the paths of Eden. A sense of wonder and a thirst for knowledge awakening within her heart. After a time, Eve's path once again crossed with the serpent's. "Are you feeling better?" Eve inquired, her voice tinged with genuine concern for the creature. "Yes, much better," the serpent replied, her voice smoother than the day before. "And you? You look tired." Eve nodded. "I didn't sleep well last night. Our conversation from yesterday was playing on my mind. I can't stop thinking about all that I don't know, all that I've yet to learn. It feels like there's a whole world beyond what I see." Serpent, sensing Eve's hunger for knowledge, saw an opportunity. "I can help you, Eve. There is a way to see beyond the limits of this garden, to understand the depths of good and evil, pain and pleasure." Without waiting for a response, the serpent began to lead Eve through the garden's lush foliage. Eve, driven by an innate desire to know, followed the serpent. A majestic tree emerged from the midst of Eden's endless greenery. Towering above them, the tree's branches stretched towards the heavens, laden with fruit. The serpent introduced the tree. "This is the tree of knowledge, of good and evil," she hissed softly, her eyes locked on Eve's. "Its fruits grants the one who eats it the answers to all mysteries, the understanding of the world." Eve hesitated, her mind a whirlwind of emotions. She remembered God's command and the warnings from Adam. This tree was forbidden. Yet the allure of knowledge, of understanding the intricacies of creation, and the mind of her father tugged at her heart. The serpent, perceiving Eve's indecision, pressed on. "Do you not wish to know more, Eve? To seek knowledge is not to betray love. It is to embrace the fullness of existence, to see the world through enlightened eyes." The thought of comprehending the depths of the world, of sharing in the wisdom that shaped the heavens and the earth, was intoxicating. With a heart heavy with curiosity and a mind yearning for understanding, Eve reached out and plucked a fruit from the tree. She closed her eyes and bit into it, the sweetness exploding in her mouth. Then came a voice. "Eve, what have you done?" It was Adam, his voice thick with worry and disbelief. Eve's eyes snapped open to meet Adam's gaze. She was about to tell him how wonderful the fruit tasted, how she understood everything. But she was interrupted. "Eve, it seems you are so very keen on learning about the world and its true nature, despite the boundaries I have clearly set," said God. "And so, you and Adam are free now. You will leave the Garden of Eden and explore the harsh realities of the outside world at your leisure." Before their eyes, a portion of the garden's wall shimmered and dissolved, revealing an opening to the world outside. A world unknown, vast, and waiting. Eve turned to argue, to plead for understanding or forgiveness. But Adam gently shook his head. He took her hand with a firm resolve, leading her towards the opening. "Let's go, Eve," he whispered, his voice a mixture of sadness and acceptance. As they stepped through the garden's boundary, leaving paradise behind, Eve's feelings of confusion, sadness, and shame intensified. Why didn't you argue back? Maybe he would have let you stay, at least, she asked Adam, her voice tinged with despair. Adam, looking ahead into the expanse that stretched before them, remembered how God had rewarded him by giving him Eve. God had done that because Adam had followed the rules. Perhaps, Adam mused aloud, if we follow this path laid out for us, even now, there might be hope for redemption. Maybe in time God will see our willingness to learn from our mistakes and guide us once more. Together, they ventured into the unknown, the garden fading behind them. I hope you have enjoyed this story, and it has brought you a night of peaceful, restful sleep. Please join me again tomorrow night for another sleep story. Until then, sweet dreams.